Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
The scripture reading is from Philippians 2, 1 through 11. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing of the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This is, I believe, the third week in our sermon series based on the book, A Life Worth Living. This book was written by Nikki Gumbel, who is the founder of the Alpha Movement. We just had a big Alpha class here this spring. And so this is a book that really talks about, okay, now you've made a commitment for Christ. What next? What do you do? What's new? So we've talked about a new heart, a new purpose, and this week we get the topic, a new attitude. Now, when I was given this topic, I thought it was perfect. I know all about attitude. I live with a teenager. Yep, I'm not sure that's the attitude that Paul wanted us to take on. But Paul does call us as Christians to a new attitude. He would say, if you've heard my words and you want to find out more and you want to respond, we're going to be meeting at so-and-so's house later on, and everyone is welcome to come and find out more about being a Christian. And so people would respond. But that was a problem, because you see, the slave master and the slave owner were not used to meeting in the same place together. It's a little strange for us to think about as 21st century Americans, but we don't have to look very far back in our own history as Americans to a time in our history when asking a slave owner to invite one of their slaves to their home, to sit down at their table, to break bread, to share bread and wine together, to hold hands as they prayed, that would be a real stretch. I mean, we can only imagine how difficult that was, not just for the slave owners, but for the slaves themselves, to be comfortable in this home, to be able to talk with each other as equals. It was difficult, and there was just as much difficulty as with Greeks talking to Jews in that way, because they were not from the same position in society. So Paul, after he left this little town and had formed this little church and left them, said, okay, get to it, go be a church, he realized that they needed a lot more instruction than he had given them. And so many of Paul's letters to these little churches not only instruct them in theology about what it, you know, who Jesus Christ was and what he did for us, etc., but also instructs them in how to be a church, how to be a family, how to come together and be of one mind, to be of one heart, to be concerned for one another. It was not an easy thing. As we see in this letter to the Philippians, he's speaking especially to those rich and powerful and wealthy when he says, do nothing from selfish ambition. or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. This idea of putting others first, I mean, we've seen it over and over again, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your neighbor as yourself. What we call the golden rule. Over and over again, Paul has to reinforce this to his new churches. I especially like one of the verses from Colossians, which is a letter to the church in Colossae, wherever that is. But it's on the same theme. He says, you have stripped off the old self with all of its practices, with everything that went with it. You stand naked before God. And you now clothe yourself with the new self, which is renewed, made new in knowledge according to the image of its creator. You have now put on Christ. You have put Christ on like a new set of clothes. It's changed your identity, and especially it should change your attitude towards those around you. Being born again in Christ means reforming ourselves through the work of the Holy Spirit into this image of our Creator, the mind of Christ. So I want to turn back to the scripture that we've looked at today that Janet read for us. This is an important scripture in terms of what it meant for the people of this early church. Scholars have told us, by analyzing the scripture, they believe that part of this passage was really one of the first hymns written about for Christians, one of the first songs, whether they put it to music or not. They may have chanted it, they may have recited it, but this portion of the verse, and I'm just going to read it back for you, and I don't think we even have a slide for this, but it's starting with verse 5. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ, who, and here comes the hymn part, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And on it goes to talk about how God exalted him. This is a very important hymn in the early church because it brings up two themes that explain what Christ did for us and how we are to respond to this. The first idea is kenosis, this idea of self-emptying. Kenosis is a Greek word, Christ emptied himself. He took everything that he was, Son of God, God himself, majestic, all-powerful, all-knowing, and he laid it aside. He emptied himself. He poured himself out. He humbled himself and became obedient. That is the kenosis. And then the theosis. He transformed again into the image of God. He was exalted into the image by God the Father, raised up again. And that image of emptying ourselves and then being raised up is an important Christian image because that's what we're called to do when we accept Christ, to empty ourselves of everything that we used to be, the ambition, the greed, the hypocrisy, the self-centeredness, and take on the image of Christ, transform ourselves into the image of God. And that process, the theosis, is what we as Wesleyans, as Methodists, call sanctification. The process whereby the Holy Spirit continues to work in your life during your entire Christian life, transforming you, me, all of us, into the image of Christ. Jesus Christ did that for us so that we can in turn be transformed by that. Many scholars and theologians have looked at this passage in particular and said that it almost forms the heart of the Christian message. St. Athanasius Very early Eastern Christian theologians said, God became man so that men might become gods. Now, that is a very Eastern Orthodox way of looking at that, that we in our transformation and sanctification become gods. It makes us a little uncomfortable as Western Protestants to say that's what's taking place in us. And so Dietrich Bonhoeffer kind of reformulated that, as many scholars have, for our Western minds, and said he, Christ, became like human beings so that we would be like him. Whichever way you want to look at it, and it's how, you know, it's one of those questions like angels dancing on the head of the pin of this, what do we become and how are we transformed? But there's no doubt that we are transformed through the power and love of Jesus Christ when we empty ourselves. I'm going to page 2. So, here we are with this idea of emptying ourselves and being transformed, taking away all of our vanity, ego, things that get in the way, humbling ourselves, not an easy thing to do. Being humble sometimes is seen as a negative in our society, and I don't understand why. We like to pump ourselves up. We like to make ourselves feel good. We like to celebrate our successes, and we want everybody else to celebrate our successes with us. And we want our children to celebrate their successes and feel great about themselves, and we give trophies for anything. The largest trophy on my daughter's shelf is the year that her softball team had a losing record, because the coach felt so bad for them that they lost every game that he purchased them these huge trophies. She was so excited to come home with this thing. It was almost as tall as she was. What do you say to a kid when they've been rewarded for mediocrity? Love ya, but we do that as a society. Humbleness is not really something that we strive for. And yet that's what Paul over and over tells us to be, is to have the attitude of Christ in humbleness. Andrew Murray in the 1800s, I found this quote from him, and I thought this was really good describing what this humility looks like. He said, "The humble man feels no jealousy or envy. He can praise God when others are preferred and blessed before him. He can bear to hear others praised while he's forgotten, because he's received the Spirit of Jesus, who pleased not himself and sought not his own honor. Therefore, in putting on the Lord Jesus Christ," see, Paul reflected in the statement again, this putting on of Christ, "he," the humble man, "has put on the heart of compassion, kindness, meekness, humility, long-suffering, being of the same mind of Christ." Now, I want to mention a little bit about what this is not, because I don't want to be misconstrued here. Being humble is not being a doormat. Having humility doesn't mean that you let people walk all over you. Having the same mind does not mean that we have to all agree on everything. Even as Christians in the same Christian family sitting here together on Sunday, I'm sure there's many things we disagree about. But Paul would say, put the other first. Put yourself in their shoes. Respect that their opinion has been carefully formed and evaluated. Treat others as you would want to be treated. Maybe respectfully agree to disagree, but realize that your thoughts are not any more important than anyone else's. We live in an uncivil society. Now, it may have always been this way. I don't know. I've heard it argued that we're not any more uncivil than we used to be, that political campaigns are no more dirty than they were 100 years ago. But you know what? It bothers me. It bothers me when civil discourse is something that used to happen a long time ago, or maybe it's something that happens in high school debate class but not in real life, that the goal of our political parties seems to be smearing the other guy before he can smear you. It's no wonder when adults treat each other this way that we see a rise in an epidemic in bullying. our kids have not learned how to treat each other. Isn't that a sad legacy that we leave for our children, is that he who shouts the loudest gets his opinion heard. He who pushes first gets to stand on top of the heap. That's not what Paul was telling us to do. That is the opposite. Paul says, empty yourself. Forget about your pride. Forget about your ego. That's not important. What is important is love. What is important is being of one mind, the mind of Christ, having the attitude that Christ had for us, for our fellow human beings. What Paul would say is the most important of all is to be of one mind, one love, one mission, one service, through the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.